The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of KCOD Palm Springs, KCOD Coachella FM.com, or the Desert Community College District. And welcome into the Coachella Valley Report. I am Steve Kelly. We have an action-packed show for you. On this broadcast, we're going to first of all talk with Cindy Yukin of the Yukin Report about the upcoming primaries, which will take place this Tuesday in California. We're also going to talk with Congressman Raul Ruiz. We got a chance to catch up with him last week. And then Maury Beschloss will be on to talk about tariffs. And we'll finish all that off with Mike Meenan and his commentary. So let's get right to it. Let's start off with Cindy Yukin of the Yukin Report. That's UKENReport.com, a local website that also covers all things political. Cindy, how are you today?
I'm very well, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, I've been following the Yukin Report. Not much going on. I know you've been covering the farm price issues, but the great line from Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, to the lady who wrote Harriet Beecher Stowe when he looked at her. So you're the Uncle Tom's Cabin. You're the little lady who started this war. And so not really the case. The Yukin Report has been covering all the elections. Crazy couple of weeks. All right, let's start out with, let's explain the California primary system. It is not, if you're from another state or you're listening to us on KCOD Coachella FM, this is the top two vote getters will face off unless one gets 50% in some elections, and they will win. So it's kind of a weird deal. You could have, especially in the governor's race, you could have John Cox is running, I guess, or whatever his name is, the last fellow. I can't even think of his name. And so you could have two Democrats, Antonio Villaraigosa, running against Gavin Newsom if the Republican doesn't qualify, as is what happened in the U.S. Senate race a couple of years ago, correct?
Right.
So the governor's race is at the top of the ticket. There's about 800 people running. The interesting one will be the Senate race, where Tom Perez, who was a powerhouse in the assembly, he's out of L.A., he's mounting like the Bernie Sanders challenge to Dianne Feinstein. Now, Feinstein didn't even get the endorsement of the Democratic State Committee. They issued a no endorsement in the race. And for about 3 seconds, that made it very, 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 very controversial. But I think she's going to win. It'll be curious to see if Perez can finish second, correct?
Steve, I think she can win too. I think, you know, with all of the candidates, I think that her name is the most recognizable. I was surprised that she did not get the party endorsement, weren't you?
Yeah, I was surprised, but it really doesn't mean anything in the long run. You know, it'd be nice to have this. Obviously better be her last term. She's 84 years old. So I don't think she's that concerned. This is a federal election. So no matter what, it will be the top two running against each other. Now let's get to the big election here. There's two of them, but the big county election, 4th District Supervisor Manny Perez, the appointed incumbent running against Jan Harnick. And you broke something on the Yukin Report that I was unaware of. Shockingly enough, Manny Perez, who was a Democratic assemblyman, was endorsed by Marian Ashley, who 2 years ago was a Donald Trump delegate at the Republican convention.
That was the big shocker in that race. And you notice it comes pretty late in the cycle, but that was the big shocker.
Well, I think that
Steve, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm
sorry. It was a strong endorsement. It wasn't lukewarm by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, but it was done late in the campaign. So there's no real ramifications for him. But interesting, because Jan Harnick has basically, you know, did the Republican establishment thing. Ashley represents the 4th District. He's also getting up there. I don't know if he's running for re-election again, but Ashley endorsing Manny Perez means that Jan Harnick really doesn't have a huge base of support right now, does she?
She doesn't, Steve. I think she has, from what I can gather, she has some local support among the Coachella Valley cities, but there's not a big, from what I can discern, a big base of support in the broader district. And I think that that's where she'll have trouble.
And this,
based on everything that I've heard and have been told. And I also looked, and I'm sure you have too, at, you know, just sheer numbers. And I know it is a nonpartisan race, but let's be real. It has largely been run along partisan lines. You know, the Democrats, there are 80,000 registered Democrats, 58,000 Republicans. So if you look at sheer numbers, and Manny has swept the endorsements of every public safety agency. I talked with the Riverside Sheriff's Association president. He said that they believe that they can, that Manny is just a man you can count on. They said they liked Jan Harnick, but they just didn't feel like she would be there for them. And those are not my words. Those are his.
Yeah, but you know what? I would take that with a grain of salt. They hated John Benoit. You know, they funded a campaign against him with Gary Genrin, and they were mad at Benoit, who was the former supervisor before he passed away, and really sure. pushing Jan Harnick because he wanted pension reform for those guys. You know, he wanted to stop the thing that's killing the county. You know, sheriffs are retiring with 30 years service, and if they make 150 grand a year, they get 90% of that in retirement. So that was the big deal with them. But I think you're right. And then we have to bring up the mailer. And I was speaking to some people over the weekend, and the mailer with a list of criminals and that allegedly Manny Perez, you know, voted for a bill that released them, which the supervisor has nothing to do with criminal justice, as you know, except for negotiating a sheriff's contract. I asked someone, absolutely. I said, that looks consultant-driven. Has that ad been used in any other races? I haven't been able to confirm this, Cindy Yukin of the Yukin Report, but from what I understand, the ad has been used in Northern California or a similar one in GOP races. Did that ad surprise you?
That ad shocked me. Absolutely shocked me. And when I talked with Greg Rodriguez, you know, the campaign manager for Manny Perez, who's monitored campaigns and even run in elections, he said that he has never seen anything of that viciousness in three decades of local politics here in the Valley. That ad shocked me. And if you had a chance to read one of the stories I wrote, I talked to Palm Desert Mayor Savvy Jonathan, who has endorsed Jan. And he said, too, he said he was not a fan of that mailer. I just don't think it was necessary and needed. And someone had told me, it made it look like Manny alone did all that. And certainly, as you say, he doesn't have anything to do with that. I think it shocked a lot of people, even her supporters.
Now, if neither candidate gets 50% of the vote, they will have a runoff in November. So that will be one to watch. Now, the one where I think they're definitely headed for a runoff, and this is the last bastion of Republicanism, I think, in the county. I mean, really strong Republicanism. The race for sheriff. Stan Sniff is running, is the incumbent. He is the son of a longtime city council person in La Quinta who passed away, Stan Sniff Sr. Now, Stan Sniff is running against Dave Brown, who worked for the sheriff's department, was the police chief in Hammett, and also Chad Bianco, who has the endorsement of the Sheriff's Association. Now, all of these are very conservative people. Stan Sniff actually spoke to a Democratic club in the East Valley, and I think a lightning bolt hit the place. But Stan Sniff is a big NRA guy. Big gun guy, member of the Cowboy Action Shooting Society. Both Dave Brown and Chad Bianco showed up at a Sebastian Gorka rally in Riverside. So that shows you what you know, they're going for. I think this goes to a November election. What about you?
I believe you're right. What I've noticed in the last couple of days, there's a lot of support for Stan Sniff coming out of Cathedral City, and I couldn't figure out why, but one of the guys who is going to run for city council, Raymond Gregory, worked for Stan Sniff, and Cathedral City politicos, if you will, are saying if Stan Sniff was good enough to hire Raymond Gregory and Raymond Gregory likes him, that's good enough for us. So now you've got like Greg Pettis and I'm trying to think of I think it was, I better be careful.
The name probably Shelley right Cap, now, probably Shelley Kaplan.
That's what I was going to say, but I think it is. And so I've been seeing a lot of talk on Facebook posts and social media that Stan, there's just all of a sudden kind of a surge of support for him.
Right, and I get that, you know, but it'd be interesting. That's in Cathedral City. The interesting thing will be in Riverside and in Hemet. The endorsement of the Press Enterprise usually means something. The paper in Riverside, they endorse Sniff because they don't like the other two. Also, Dave Brown's being run by a really interesting group. Rod Pacheco, the extremely controversial former district attorney of Riverside County, also good friend of Jim Batten, Bonnie Garcia's. He's involved in that race as well. So I don't know who's going to finish second. I think it'll be Chad Bianco, but I think we're going to head to a November election.
Wow. I'm glad to hear you say that. As I stutter, I'm sorry. I do, too, believe that it will be Chad Bianco.
All right. Now, the 42nd Assembly District, I believe, Chad Mays, the interesting action is on the Republican here. This is a Republican district which represents Palm Springs. So if you want to know how crazy Palm Springs or local politics are, kids, on KCOD Coachella FM, Chad Mays is a proud graduate of where? Liberty University, representing one of the most gayest cities in America. But Chad Mays is being... people on the right wing of the Republican Party are running against him, against cap and trade. And Mays was the former minority leader in the California State Assembly. This would be an interesting race if the California Republican Party was viable right now in the Assembly. It's not. The big name in that race, I guess, against him, Gary Gendron, former Palm Springs police chief. This is his fourth attempt at elective office. I think you get five, and then I start calling you the Harold Stassen of local politics. But does Gary Gendron have... He ran against him a couple years ago, and he lost. 4 years ago. Does he have enough over-the-top... I don't see a lot of buzz on Gary Gendron. Chad Mays has the high desert. So I'd be curious to see what you think on that race.
Steve, I don't. I think we may have spoken about this just a little bit the last time. As you say, he's run, this is his fourth time. I just think he's, and I like Gary Gendron, and I really do as a person, but I just think he's a retread. And I keep putting him up there, and I don't see it. I could be wrong. I would think, I would not be surprised if that Andrew, I don't know how to say his last name for sure, Kadiuk or whatever from San Jacinto might be. I think he might be more
of a chance to force Mays into a run. Well, the Democratic candidate, whoever that is, and I forget who that is right now,
Denny Antoinette.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know what? She started running, and I have not met her. I have spoken with Maziga, I think is her name, African-American woman, I believe. And she started her campaign right before Christmas, and she just has not gotten I think a toehold.
She may not need one, Cindy. I have a feeling that she will finish second because four years ago, Carrie Lee Hargrove came on the scene, and she finished second in that district. Then Greg Rodriguez finished second, and then they ran against Mays. But I am be very
oh
curious.
My gosh.
I will be very curious to see how that works out. But yeah, Gary Gendron, again, everything out here, local politics with Cindy Yukon of the Yukon Report is great. Gary Gendron got his first political run against who? Manny Perez. And that was in 2008. Then he ran 2 years later against who? John Benoit for supervisor. So all of this stuff appears to be interconnected.
Interesting.
You know, it just seems that a lot of these things are interconnected. What so far has caught your attention? We have the congressional race, too, we must point out. I would assume Dr. Ruiz will be easily renominated on the Democratic side. Yes. And then you have Kimberly Brown Pelser, Doug Hassett, Dan Ball, and somebody else running on the Republican side. There has been some controversy. I mean, I'm not going to get into it because I do know some people of this involved, and I don't feel it's appropriate for me to comment on another media person. But there was some allegations made about Mr. Ball that, you know, are currently in dispute. You've covered it. Go to theyoucanreport.com if you want to find out more. But I would think that Kimberly Brown Pelser is kind of the anointed candidate of the GOP. What do you think?
I have thought that all along, and now you tell me you have an incredible handle on politics and numbers here, and of course I was gone several years. I would have said that yesterday morning that she was the anointed candidate. I was visiting with someone who's been watching the numbers and has worked on very successful campaigns in the past. He says that he predicts, and you tell me if I'm wrong, about 100,000 people will vote in this election, in this primary, since it's not a presidential race. He says he predicts Raul Ruiz will take at least 50,000 of those, leaving the other 50 for the others. And Doug Hassett has been working like a horse, a workhorse, not a show horse, these last weeks, and this guy is predicting he could easily take, you know, 15% of those. Dan Ball's been working, you know, maybe not in the traditional fashion, you know, that some say that they should be working, but he could be. Stephen Wolkowitz has run before. He has name recognition, and he can take some. So what does that still put Kimberlyn out in front? I don't know. This guy's not for sure. But what do you think?
I actually think that analysis makes some sense. I don't think it's going to be 100,000. It's going to be closer to 80. Remember, because the fact of the matter is it's a primary election. And I think the interesting thing will be with Kimberly Brown Pelser is no one knows who she is.
Exactly.
I mean, I have no idea. I've never spoken with her. She lived in Fallbrook. There is not a law against running for a district you don't live in some states, and that's obviously true here. You know, we saw that in Georgia, in the special election in Georgia, where it turned out the Democratic candidate did not live in that district. So, you know, I am very curious to see how she does. She does have the support of the structure of the Republican Party, the Riverside County Central Committee, the various clubs out here, you know, guys like Dick Oliphant, who've been around longer than I've been, endorsed her. But I don't know. I don't know if this is the year, and this may be a symbol of what's going on nationally, of Trumpism, of whether or not establishment candidates in the GOP do that well. I don't know.
Well, and she is an establishment candidate.
Absolutely.
And she portrays herself as that. And the thing I keep seeing over and over, and you're reading, I think, some of the same, you know, social media posts and different things, there is such a negative perception of her moving in here and trying to assume that she knows what the people of this district want and need. And that really raises the ire of people like Doug Hassett, who's lived here for nearly 30 years and, you know, has done local service. It's on the Mosquito Vector Control Board, but he takes that, you know, that, I mean, that's a serious post
right
to him, and he takes that serious, and he serves with great pride, and he's been working so, so hard. And Stephen Wolkowitz, I haven't talked to him other than emails and on phone, but he has run before, as you know, and they're saying he has name recognition. I don't know. Like I said, if you would have asked me yesterday morning, I would have said she was the anointed one. I'm not convinced of that anymore.
Yeah, I think she's the anointed one.
There's a groundswell of animosity toward her for different reasons.
I think she's the anointed one, but whether or not that anointment pays off, we'll find out. And,
now, that's true. That's true.
And also, I think one thing as we get closer to the election and we have you on to discuss, a lot of California Republicans are banking on this gas tax repeal vote.
Yes.
And in the fall, that this will somehow sweep them to power in Sacramento. I don't think so, because I think California voters are notorious for splitting the ballot. They voted overwhelmingly for Democrats and then elected Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, so
I don't see that.
Also, we have Joy Silver, Jeff Stone. I don't think Jeff Stone, he could. I think that they, I'm not sure if they have an election in the fall if he gets over 50%. I think they do. So I think that this is just a warm up for the fall, possibly.
I think so. So what do you know? What do you see on Tuesday in that race? Do you see Joy and Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. And okay. I think Stone hasn't spent any money on his campaign because he doesn't have to. His base of support is not here in Riverside County.
Right.
It really isn't. His base of support is over the hill. I think that Ms. Silver is basically being run out of Palm Springs, especially the LGBT community in Palm Springs. I understand that she has now spent the last 2 or 3 weeks over on the other side of the mountain. But it is a totally different viewpoint when you're in Hemet, San Jacinto, Murrieta than when you're in Palm Springs. And I question at this point whether she's done enough work for that. But she'll have time to do it in the fall.
Well, I hear that Anna Novinik is doing a lot of work over there that she learned from the last time. And she... Steve, I don't have the numbers from her race from the last time she ran, but she got some respectable numbers. And she tells me that she knows where she fell down last time. And so she's really working that area over there. And some Democrats are telling me that they would, that they're a little nervous.
Well, they're nervous, but Anna Novinik is like the female version of Mr. Gene. She's run for everything. Right now. In fact, I think she should run against Gary and somebody would finally get elected.
Okay. We'll keep it above board.
We'll keep it above board. But she, I think that if they ran against each other, someone would finally win an election. And I'll leave it at that. I'll leave that to the ear of the listener, Cindy Yukin. So what is the big thing? What is your big takeaway from the upcoming election? What have you learned?
From the upcoming election.
Yeah, the election season. What has been the thing that's jumped off the page at you?
Well, I think we've already touched on that. I think the big takeaway for me, Steve, is how really ugly the supervisor's race got. I was not expecting that.
That's a very, very cogent and salient point. I don't think a lot of people were. And I wonder myself, I think Jan Hornick would have been an ideal congressional candidate. I do know both of these people, and I will tell you that I very much respect Ms. Hornick. I very much respect Mr. Perez. I just think that this is a prime example of when you let political consultants involved in your campaign.
Steven, I think that's the point. That really is the point. And that's frightening. I mean, her consultant, who was the same consultant for John Benoit, I found out, I think she did let him do what he thought was the right thing. I don't know Jan well. We go to the same church. I have great respect for her and what she's done and taking on this. But I just wasn't... I think that's the big takeaway. I wasn't ready for how ugly it got. And, you know, she sued Manny Perez for, you know, saying that he was supervisor on the ballot. And it was just kind of like right out of the gate. It turned kind of
very, very aggressive. And, well, you know, she's right. Yeah. Stan Sniff, by the way, pulled that on his first election bid, too. He was appointed sheriff and then put up signs that said re-elect Stan Sniff.
And, well, you know, Stephen.
They all do it. It's not right, but it doesn't make it right.
No.
But.
Well, what I'm hearing, too, is that, and I called her and asked her or emailed her, I can't remember, but, you know, if in the event she does not win the supervisor's race, her seat on the Palm Desert City Council is up for election. And I'm told that, you know, because of that whole mailer, and none of us knows for sure, but that could really hurt her, you know, if she decides to run for council, and I think she will.
I will.
But that there might be some carryover for that. So it's going to be interesting either way.
You know what? Okay. And I'm going to let you go because we want people to go to the Yukon Report, type it in your search engine. You can read it. I will make this prediction. If she does run for Palm Desert City Council, she will be elected overwhelmingly because the people who went to that council meeting to complain have one thing in common about the mailer. None of them live in Palm Desert. So we'll debate that in the fall if it comes to that. Okay,
Sid? Good. Steve, thank you so much for being such a gracious host. I appreciate it so much.
Okay, thank you so much. Hang on the line. We'll be back with more right after this.